But actually, my first real memories has been here with you guys quite a few years ago. And the one thing that I love about Resurrection Day is the bacon. So thank you to the cooks again. Like I told somebody this morning, I really feel like I'm very thankful every Resurrection Day that Jesus freed us from the dietary law. All of that just to start off a little loose. I did an overview, like was mentioned, of Colossians last week. And I wanted to get into some stuff, and I decided, for this Sunday, with it being a celebration, it's probably not the right thing. I got some help making that decision. So I thought I'd look around in Colossians, see kind of what it has to say about what we're celebrating. His death and resurrection, and just kind of peek around at that. There's not a whole ton, so I filled it out a little bit for you guys. So I thought I'd start with a little bit about Jesus, right? Because he's the one who died. So let's start in Colossians 1:15. Okay, he, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So he's the creator God. There aren't a ton of verses on this, but I thought I'd bring in John 1:1-3 as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So this Jesus we're celebrating this morning is the Creator. Thought I'd go back to Colossians, where we just ended. Verse 18. He's also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. I wanted to stop with that verse 19, all the fullness to dwell in him, and bring in... Colossians 2:9. Try to stay in Colossians as much as possible. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
Yes.
Just in case we were confused about what exactly he's full of. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When they saw him in the flesh, they were seeing the Father. There was several discussions Jesus had with the while he was on earth about that. Show us the Father, they asked him. But he was the representation of the Father. So in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So let's go to Colossians 3. Back to Colossians 1, starting in 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here we see what Jesus did for us in Colossians. The redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Before the resurrection, obviously, we have what Jesus did for us on the cross. Colossians 2:12. I know we're doing some jumping around, but trying to tie all the spots together kind of on the subject matter. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting in decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. You know, the funny thing about Colossians is it's a small book and it has so much in it. And last week, too, trying to do an overview, and this week looking at some of this, there's almost this temptation we should just read through the book because it's there. And it's worded so well by Paul. When we were dead in our transgressions and uncircumcision of our flesh, he made us alive together with him. All right. So Jesus is the Creator God, and in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And while we were sinners, he died for us and transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So let's go to Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Moving on through Colossians. It's another overview, really. And this starts talking a bit more about us. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. You know, before I move on, we're celebrating Resurrection Day. And we're celebrating the day where Jesus rose from the dead. And that is cool in and of itself. Jesus is King. He died and he rose. But we have been raised with Christ. I just find that really amazing because this celebration is about our relationship with him. If he had not been raised, we would still be dead. So therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them also you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created them. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. I want to put a pause right there. In Jesus, in his resurrection, he has made us without distinction. America is kind of a melting pot. We have all sort of ethnicities among us and backgrounds. Even in here, I'm sure we probably span quite a few European nations at least, maybe some Asian nations. And in Christ, we're all the same. But also male and female. It doesn't say that here, but if we take a quick peek to Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor freeman. There is neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. That's quite inclusive. Now, lest anybody misunderstand me, here on earth we're still Americans and we're Chinese and Russian and German, and we're all those things. We're also still male and female, functionally on earth. But before God, we are all the same. We're in a special family that has been raised with Christ. So, thought I'd continue in Colossians 3 a little bit further. I think I was in 11. There it is. I lost my place. Sorry about that. So, starting in verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's all of us, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So that's kind of to round up what our response ought to be, is that that we be thankful and that we encourage one another and that we be there for one another. So I kind of feel like Colossians kind of gives us a pretty good overview of the gospel and of the death and resurrection. Maybe not in detail, not the full story. But it creates a pretty cool distinction between where we were and where we are or should be. And it is also a great gospel in and of itself to both believers and unbelievers. You are part of a community. And if you're not part of the community, Jesus created that path for you to become part of this community, to become a family member with us. And it gives a pretty nice outline of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. I helped with Bible release. Who's been involved in Bible release? Yeah, quite a few hands. I used to do it with Ula. Some of you old timers know who I'm talking about. And Ula liked to do, she gave away a lot of prizes, and there was often trivia and that sort of thing involved. And one of the questions I remember is, who is Jesus? And all of the kids knew who Jesus was. Jesus was the Creator God who became man, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again. And if nothing else, I hope you remember that. Okay, I think I'm going to pray, and then if any of you guys have any questions, we'll move on to that. Lord God, I thank you so much for your Son. I thank you that you have decided through him to make us part of your family, that you've given us forgiveness of sins, but then have invited us and have included us in a way that should have not been expected and is still hard to understand. And I ask that you grant us understanding about that, who we are to you, and that we would understand who we are to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Any comments or questions on this? Yes, sir?
On three words, when Christ, who is our life, appears, and you will also appear with him in glory. Is that talking the second coming, or is that talking about when we have Christ in our life?
I think kind of, but like there's a sense in which we have been raised with him, and
seated in the heavenlies.
Yeah, and we're seated in the heavenlies, but there's also a sense in which we don't know yet what we're going to be. I forget where that reference is. There's a reference to that point. 1 John 3, that we don't know yet what we're going to be exactly. So I think it's a gradual thing. It's both here and then.
It gives me a sense of asking the question, is he in our life just as Savior or in our life?
Oh, well, I mean, the short answer is he's in our life right now, but do you need more? What do you need?
I'm talking about Jesus should be not controlling our lives, but Jesus should be the essence of our life. If we're simply saying John 3:16, and I don't need to worry about anything else, I'm going to heaven, versus Jesus is part of my life and directs how I live, how I act, you know, there's a separation there. He's part of our life now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he's part of our life now, and he's head of the body, the church.
King,
yeah, right, our King.
Martyr, I will not leave you alone or leave you orphans. I will send you the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And...
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah, so you're asking about like easy believism versus like a lordship gospel.
Lord and Savior.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We need both.
We need both.
Okay.
And there will be a revealer.
Romans 8:19, with anxious longing of creation, all of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And there's certainly more of the program, but most definitely life now.
Brad.
Well, I just did part answer to his question. To believe in Christ, you're dead to this world and alive in Him. He no longer exists here. This is not his realm.
Right. Right. Okay. Enjoy a cookie and
chocolate.
It's always about food. Chocolate cookies and bacon. All right.